Mickey Bradford's. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Look at your pretty faces. A little lopsided, a little heavy over here, but I'll do my best to remember we're all one. How wonderful to see you all here this morning. I'm especially glad you're here because I have such a fun message to deliver to you that it had me laughing, and I'm just completely invigorated with what's about to say. So I picked a topic, the trim tab, which I knew would be good fodder for a Sunday message. And I've been playing with it, seeing that it was on the calendar and coming, and it's got me all excited, and I found the perfect quote to tie it in, and then we all get in this harmonic zone where we all do complimentary readings and songs and little laughter at the beginning, and Pris is gorgeous, like, hey, we're all here now, you know, it comes together, and we have one magnificent Sunday experience. So thank you for being here today. The term trim tab, I know is, some of you know what that is already, and I know that some of you don't know what a trim tab is, because I was in the don't know division, and I'm a part of you, so I know that some of us don't know what trim tab was, but you will today, because in my journey through doing all this research, I have developed what I am calling the trim tab theology. Isn't that a great idea? So I'm going to tell you all about what it means, what it does, how it applies to spirituality, and I'm going to tie it all in with this quote from Dr. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this teaching. And I am quoting, of course, from Creative Mind and Success that was written 101 years ago. Isn't that exciting? So Holmes says this, and this is a simple easy to hear, I believe. Good foundational quote. Let us see that we use the right attitude of mind in all that we do, filling ourselves with such courage and power and strength that all thought of weakness flees before us. It just runs away. So think about that. All thoughts of weakness, anytime you don't feel in your own authority or weakened by circumstances or conditions in your life, we're looking at ways in which we are feeling a sense of opposition in some way, some idea that in some way something could interfere with us in such a way that it disrupts our good or causes us to feel sort of a negative force in a conversation, in reading the newspaper, or in a relationship. And Holmes is saying that if we fill ourselves with courage, power, and strength, those things disappear. Why? I mean, we know this. This is basic spirituality 101. It's because when you turn on the light in a dark room, the darkness goes away. So as we turn to remember that there's a power and a presence greater than we are, and we align to that, and we begin to feel it, we use it, we activate it as a part of our spiritual life, or better yet, our daily living, then our whole life starts to change because all those other things flee and run away from us. But I wanted to note that as I was doing the work to put the message together this morning, I noticed that those tiny little words, the right attitude of mind, that it's easy to read anything that says to think in the right way or to have the right mental attitude. Anytime we go in that direction, we also then start affirming that they're accidentally, inadvertently, backwards, that there's something wrong that we may be doing that we have to change. And so I want to clear that up today. I did a good amount of, if you're a wordsmith and you like playing with words like I do, you are going to love the message this morning, because I just did a ton of work. Boy, a naughty adjective just came to my mind. I'm so glad you can't read my mind. Can you? give me some confidence here that you can't read my thought balloon. You didn't hear it. Good. So what I notice is when we say the right, there's a right way, we immediately go to thinking there's a wrong way. I almost said a wrong thing in what I deem is right or wrong. But to simplify that, to help you hear it in an even easier way, I also notice this. If I desire I would never do this, but let's say I desired in a group of people to begin a conversation on peace and whether or not peace in the world was possible, where would the conversation end up going? To war. Right? It's almost like we don't know how to just talk about peace because you think that and then you get this image of the opposite and then we feel overwhelmed by all the things in the world that we can't change. And what I'm here to tell you is there's a trim tab. A trim tab is a device that you find on a rudder. It has to do with sailing or flying. And because I have never... Well, I did actually. They did put me at the helm of a big, giant 50-foot sailboat once, only once, because I immediately breached the boat. Everybody was drinking, and I kept going, should I turn the wheel a little more? And they all kept going, yeah, and they'd look at me, yeah, just so I kept turning it until all of a sudden everything was tipping over sideways, and people were running all over it, and it was really exciting. They didn't let me do that again after that, but I asked. So what we're going to do first this morning is look at the word right, R-I-G-H-T. And I want you to have a whole new, I want you to open your mind, because just like everything else in the English language, there are lots of different definitions for the word right. There are lots of ways to use it. It can be a verb, it can be an adverb, it can be an adjective, and it can be a noun, and then you can say things like, if I use the word right and I put it at the end of a sentence with a question mark behind it, I'm looking for agreement. Right? You see why I laughed so much this morning? This stuff just makes me laugh. It's just too fun. So if we look at the word right as a verb, it implies an action. So we might say in a sentence, they had to right the capsized boat. What are we meaning there? We have to right the capsized boat. It means the boat has turned upside down. The boat doesn't work well upside down. So now that we're going to take an action to turn it around, get it away from that upside down position, and put it in a fixed position where it will work its best, the way it was designed to work. Do you feel a metaphorical lesson in this? It's coming. It's coming. Be patient. It can be a verb. The word right can be a verb. It is often an adjective. That's when I think we don't like it, because we use it as an adjective. It is describing or implying, and this comes right out of the dictionary, proper. Well, that just makes me uncomfortable right away. The words proper and appropriate. Justin, I'm thinking about that exercise we did yesterday in that class. Oh, my goodness. Proper and appropriate. Those words make the little hairs on the back of my neck stand out. And you probably understand why. Because do you notice how hard I try to be proper and appropriate? And yet, I do. And yet, some days, you look at the closet and you just think, oh, I think I can pull that off. And you do something wild and crazy if you're me. So there's a rebelliousness with me and those words. So if I look at the word right as an adjective, and it first thing the dictionary says is it's proper, it's moral or ethical, now we understand it's that do the right thing. And it's so hard to hear do the right thing without thinking you haven't been doing it already, or you're not doing it enough, or you haven't figured out what right means, because, you know, for God's sake, the ego's voice is louder than the spirit's voice and all of that stuff. So that's where we get into trouble, but I want to give you a whole new way to leave today. We're going to think of it as a noun. And I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to take literary license. Not like I don't do that every Sunday, but I'm going to take literary license or grammatical license or whatever you want to call it. I'm going to make up my own thing here. And I'm going to say that we're going to put right and attitude together and make it one word so that right attitude becomes a noun and not an adjective, not something to strive for, not something that's missing. but we're going to make it something that we understand is already God-given. So I'm looking at the word right as a noun, and now listen to the dictionary definition of this. A moral or legal entitlement to have something or to act in a certain way. It is privilege. It is advantage. It is your due. It is your birthright. Now what are you thinking? See, now when I look at that word right, it gets a capital R at the front of it because I'm looking at my birthright. It is a God-given divine gift by right of living, by right of consciousness. I can now move into a place of seeing that it has been intended that I express my life in a way that I am called to express my life. And so if I take out any idea of wrong and just look at right attitude as not something I have to achieve, but something that has already been given me, now all I have to do is step into it. And see, that's what the trim tab is. The trim tab is the tiniest little device that does just a little bit of movement, but it gives a ship the ability to turn the entire ship around intentionally or to direct a course. And that's how I want us to be thinking about right attitude this morning. I think that if we look at what our birthright is and living aligned to that, I immediately think of that. I saw it in my mind, you know, when I was writing the talk this week. Big for God. You are blessed. There is that inspiration that is constantly pouring out. And for these things, as we wake up, as we notice, as we become aware of them, we feel this gratitude that is alive. It's that movement of activity inside of us that makes us so grateful because in that moment, we know that to be true. That right where we are, God is. Yeah, let me hear an amen. Yeah, this is good stuff. Now, here's the thing. This is not a grammar lesson. This is not a lesson in syntax or proper or anything correct. I'm suggesting it's a spiritual truth and that it can become a spiritual practice. And that's why I named this, these ideas that I'm working up to, the trim tab theology. So anytime we embark on a course of study or commit to an ongoing practice, whether it's a spiritual practice or it's a violin lesson, practice of your violin lessons, or you're practicing in the kitchen, being a better chef, you know, learning some skills, learning how to use that big chopping knife that scares the bejavers out of me, doesn't matter what it is, what happens when you practice? You get better. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. Yeah. So I notice that all of us, the people in my life anyhow, because you are the people in my life, I notice that we really try to do the right thing. We try to be kind. We have a high bias to wanting to be kind. We want to be a better person. We desire to practice high morals in a way that we define what high morals is, not what anybody else tells you they should be. And we want to develop the Buddha nature or the Christ consciousness. And sometimes we get discouraged because it feels like we're so far away from those things. And what I want to say today is that I have this perfect tool that is going to help you steer your ship, and it's about the trim tab. So let me tell you about the trim tab. Every ship or boat, in fact, airplanes have trim tabs, but I'm told that they're more about stabilizing. In a boat, the trim tab is on the very back of the boat. In fact, it's behind the boat or the ship. It may be a big, giant ocean liner, but it has to have a rudder because as you move the rudder, it changes the direction. It allows the captain of the ship to direct the course of the journey. And the bigger the ship, the bigger the rudder. I read while I was doing this research that in an airplane, there's so much force around that rudder that it needs the trim tag. In fact, the force of the air around an airplane flying a jet, flying in the sky, is 100 times the force of a hurricane. And so imagine the minds that created the design that is God-given. It's not like anybody made it. It's like they discovered the mechanics of it and tried different things until they found a way that it works. Now, let me tell you, in the best that I can, because I am a girl, and this is new research, and it's science and math and all that stuff. I'd much rather talk about the Holy Spirit. But I think it's going to be really worth it, so hang with me, or go home and just do a little research on your own. It's not hard to find something that's going to excite you in understanding how the trim tab works. So the thing is, the ship, now imagine there's a big ocean liner and it's cruising right here. We're in the ocean, and the ocean liner comes and the ship will completely pass you before you get to the end of the ship where the rudder is. The bigger the ship, the bigger the rudder has to be. Now, as the ship is moving through the water, much like the force of air and wind in the airplane, the movement of the ship through the water creates a tremendous force of that water rushing past the sides. And the movement, and then it all compounds itself. So there's all this pressure. There's all this, you might say, resistance. And so if we tried to move this big, giant rudder, it would hit all that pressure, and it would be impossible to move the rudder. It would be impossible with that much force and resistance, that is opposition. Just from the movement, it's created from the movement of the vessel. However, somebody figured out how to make a little piece, a small piece, on the end of the rudder that can shift ever so slightly, and because it's not this big mass that blocks that natural flow, it moves easily. It can be controlled more easily because it doesn't have so many pounds of pressure against it. And when it moves, it creates a vacuum that now allows the rudder to move in the direction that the captain wants it to move in. So it's a trim tab. The little piece on the end is the trim tab. It moves directly into the force of the opposition, and it uses that resistance to do its job. So let me recap it, if I can. Ship moves. There's momentum. Momentum builds up the force. There's resistance and opposition, and the trim tab uses that force to change the directions. Tiny little thing. The idea of looking at the trim tab as a metaphor is not original. In fact, I found it as I was reading through a leadership book. And they quoted that Bucky Fuller, who knows who Bucky Fuller, oh, I should have asked you, who knows who made the trim tab theory? How many of you knew that the trim tab theory is connected to, in terms of leadership and metaphors, is attributed to Bucky Fuller? Anybody know that? A couple of you raised your hand, yeah. So Buckminster Fuller. That's what I said. I corrected myself. I'm trying to be proper here. My exotic wild clothes. I just think I need one of your shoes, Felicia, and then everything would be perfect. Really, just the right one? If you would just give me the right one, I'd be really happy. Those are good shoes. All right, moving on. So Buckminster Fuller was an architect and inventor. Some people even called him futuristic. He's actually was really fun to research too. And he came up with this trim tab theory based on watching the Queen, the one in Long Beach, the Queen Mary sail by. And he lived about the same time as Holmes. He was born in 1895. He lived until 1983. And you know what? It's the sweetest love story. He died. He went to the hospital. He was 87 years old, and he went to the hospital to sit at the side of his ailing wife who was critically ill, and he had a heart attack and died, and she died 3 days later. Isn't that a gorgeous story? Well, sort of. Thank you. At least one honest person. I think it's a beautiful story. I love romantic things like that. I do. Bucky Fuller said this. These are his words. Sometimes it feels like life. It feels like society. It feels like the world is against you. But if you are doing dynamic things mentally, the fact is that you can just put one foot out and the whole big ship can turn around. He so lived his life according to the trim tab theory that on his tombstone, it says simply, "Call me Trim Tab." Because he got it. And the reason he got it was because he did make social changes. He did become so active that by doing small things, by adjusting the trim tab from the rear, not at the front of the ship, not at the front of the crowd, by his small maneuvers and choices, he was able to feel at the end of his life he had contributed to moving the big ship around. He believed that a single person can have a huge impact on the greater whole. And we create change by being the trim tab for what we believe. So here's what went through my mind. I read all that and I got all excited and I thought, you know, we do not have to be at the front of the ship. We do not have to be the mighty engine, you know, pushing everybody along. We do not have to know the mechanics and all the details. We do not have to fight the resistance or the opposition. Keep in mind, there is a forward movement that creates a force of energy around it, and it feels like a lot of resistance. It can feel like a lot of interference. If you look at what's going on in the world, you will see that we are in this place of forward movement. We are changing because things have to change. And what we see, what we think we see, is just a bunch of divided opinions or ideas or people taking stands that are contradicting each other. And yet, that which we feel as opposition is not really that. It is the forward movement. It is that which is helping us adapt. Look at the universe and see how the universe operates. And we will see that there is a way for us to stand in all of this. As Bucky said, throw out a foot. Just throw out a little foot. You know, I feel like throwing your hand over if you're in a little rowboat, you know, and you throw your hand out and you let the water run through your fingers as you're moving along. He says, throw out a foot, lean slightly, gently into a new idea, into a new possibility. The Course in Miracles, one of my favorite studies, says that it only takes a tiny space of willingness. We change everything. If we just create within ourselves a tiny space of willingness. So you might say that this noun that we are calling right attitude, as I look at it as one word, you might say that right attitude is just a tiny thought. Just the tiniest sliver of willingness on our part to be open to see things in a different way. I am here to remind you this morning, and I'm feeling very passionate about it, that you came to this planet equipped with your very own trim tab. Nobody is missing a trim tab. So how you want to use it? And this now is really the meat of what I've been wanting to say. I have thought about this all week, and I think it might be one of the most, for me, one of the most profound recognitions I have ever had of seeing something in a different way. This is one of the most profound. I think it could help so many people if we can wrap our minds around it. But understanding how that tiny willingness, or looking at the trim tab, what if we looked at our life and realized there is some big ship in our life? What if we were willing to, as Holmes said, look at the discordant fact? What if we were willing to name the big, don't do it, but think it? And I'll try not to read your thought balloon. I'll return the favor. What if you could look at your life and see what that big ship is? What is that big ship in your life? Is it a relationship that it's time for it to be a little bit different, but it feels so big, it's unimaginable how you have the power to change it? Maybe it's that you want to live debt-free. Maybe you have made a big decision that by the year 2020, your desire is to pay off all your credit cards. But when you look at the balance of all your credit cards, you feel overwhelmed. It just takes the tiniest piece of willingness to redirect your ship. Maybe your ship is taking better care of your body. Most of us have a ship that leans in that direction and looks at that. Maybe the big thing in your life that you feel like you can't turn around is whether it's wellness or weight or eating differently. Whatever it is, it only takes that tiny little sliver of willingness on our part to create a vacuum in which Holy Spirit itself will then pull toward us the good that we desire. And so the truth is, and I don't need to tell you this, you already know this, we are all in charge of our own ship. We are all directing our ship. We are sailing our ship in whatever waters we decided to sail in. And at any moment, we can change the current. We can go from a storm to a clear waters, and we can see the rainbows in any moment. It is not God's will for us to move through storms. So how can we look at these things differently? How can we see those things we want to turn around not as big ships, but just as conditions, experiences? They're just experiences where we get to apply our spiritual practice of right attitude and practice a tiny piece of willingness to turn that all around. And so here's my question for you. Here's the assignment I hope that you will boldly embrace, and that is this. What tiny thing can you do tomorrow for that one ship, that one thing in your life, that one thing that always seems too big to manage? What is one tiny thing you can do tomorrow to begin to create that vacuum that will then pull more and more good in, so that you will have a force of good that is recognizable that you can use to get well, or to fall in love again, or to pay off all your bills, or to heal your body and your mind and just live anew? Because whatever it is that you desire, you also are entitled to experience. It is your birthright. God wills us to, it's God's will for us to have good. It's God's will for us to have a choice as we move through our experiences. And I think the only mistake we make is that we confuse will and willingness with thinking that we have to will it enough. We have to be willful in the way we pray. We have to will it in such a way that we think we're using our own force. No wonder it feels too big for us. No wonder we get overwhelmed when we read the newspaper. No wonder we listen to our loved one talking about the same thing again and again, and it's almost like you just want to not hear it anymore. Because something in us, that tiny little lever, can be shifted. And the reason we know it, if you're feeling triggered by anything, then that is your sign that there is a different experience that God is willing for you, because God wills only good, only love, only joy, only peace, only order. When things don't look that way in your life, take a choice. Stand in a space of willingness. Pray. Ask somebody to treat with you. And I love that statement that Bucky Fuller said, do dynamic things mentally. Use your mind, because it is a gift from God. Okay, and so now I want you to really open yourself to figure out where that gem is. What was in this message today that was just for you? And let's take it to prayer. So if I could have the practitioners and the ministers to surround the room, please. And as we rest in the sacredness of this room, feeling a part of this beloved community, I feel the love of God within me. And I sense that same expression of love as each individual sitting in a chair in this blessed sanctuary. I feel the love and the power and the wisdom of the divine circulating through this room, for we have activated something powerful. We have aligned ourselves so that we can say we stand in that God-given position of right mind and right attitude. And so there is something wonderful, something healing and transformational that is happening right now. I feel the love of God within me, and it is a movement that is powerful. It is an aliveness that can only be Spirit itself. And knowing that we live and move and have our being in that one mind, we realize that our mind is indeed one with the mind of God, and that infinite possibilities are around us everywhere, constantly available. The desires of our heart are waiting for the tiniest place of willingness, for us to stand again in that place of openness, in that place of willingness, not using our force, but standing in the movement of the power of God Almighty. And so I know that right now there is a healing going on in this room. There is a healing. There is a movement of the atoms and the molecules and the cells and the pieces of our body, the organs and the delight of every aliveness that equals us. That there is something magnificent, something miraculous, something extraordinary, and yet so ordinary. because we as children of God, created in the image and likeness, we open ourselves to understand that idea of divine entitlement, of accepting our due, of opening to ourselves to receive that which is promised, that is our birthright. And so in that movement, in the expression of these words, in tapping into that power that is greater than ours, we just breathe. And that breath moves the trim tab of our life. And the rudder changes and moves, and now we feel and know that we are going in a direction that we desire, in a way where we can receive that good that we long for, in a way that complements life and makes this world a better place. So I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, life, for revealing these truths this day, for that is what the healing is. For being the revelator of great and mighty possibilities. And in that spirit of deep, deep gratitude, I simply release the words of this prayer into the law, knowing that it is already done. And together we say, and so it is. Amen.